Well, we're in the book of Romans, Romans 16. This will probably be our last installment on Sunday mornings in the book of Romans. Next week I'll tell you probably at the end what we'll be doing next week. I'll tell you. Romans chapter 16, the very last chapter of the book of Romans, praise the Lord. We have made it through, and we struggled through. Some have been all the way through with us. Some have had different circumstances. We understand, and God understands even more. And so we hope you just kind of kept up with your studies. It's a wonderful challenge. It's a beautiful challenge. Did you know that the Christian struggle is the most beautiful struggle that you will ever see? I've never seen anything more beautiful than a Christian that's struggling to walk in the light of the gospel. You say, well, what? I thought God provided everything for us. Oh, yeah, he did. He did. But you still have to walk in it. That's the challenge. And your enemy is going to fight you every step of the way. And I ain't talking about the devil either. I'm talking about you. The old man. That boy wants his place back like all get out. He doesn't like this thing about Jesus being Lord, and he doesn't like this thing about the Holy Ghost leading and guiding you in the way of God, and he wants his old place back, he wants his old life back, he wants his old buddy back. Of course, his old buddy is dead in Christ. Yes, we have an enemy, and you know, a lot of times the church folks, they kind of pass it off and say, you know, I would have made it if the devil hadn't bothered me. And they say, you know, I was going to do good. But old Slewfoot jumped up and got in my way. That devil just giving me a hard time. Every time I go somewhere, the devil's right there. Yeah. Yeah, they pass it off. They're pointing at an invisible enemy that no one's ever seen. But yet, he is the main culprit. And he is to be blamed because he started it. He was the first one to rebel against God, and he was the one that influenced our foreparents, Adam and Eve, to sin. But listen, it's just like a computer program. The programmer programs it from the beginning to run perfectly. Press go, checks memory, checks the different components, the C drive, it checks the hard drive, it checks the CD tray, it checks the mouse, it checks. Yeah, it checks through all of that. And then it finally pulls up the operating system that you're going to work with. And then the computer's sitting there perfectly ready for your first command. And you go, start, program. And it says, here's the program. And it's there saying, what do you want to do with the program? You say, well, I want to type a letter. It says, go ahead, I'll do it. And you start typing. And there goes on the screen. And you say, I think I've done it. And you spell check, it says, here, let me check the spelling. It checks the spelling. Oh, you got that one wrong. Oh, thank you. You fixed that. And you save it, and you name it, and it says, saving, naming it, here it is. Anytime you need it, just ask me, and I'll put it up for you. It's there for you. But mess around, and a worm gets in there. Or a virus gets in there. Or some malicious ware gets in there. And you press the on button, and the computer says, oh, what's wrong with this computer? And then you reboot it, and it's trying, and it finally comes up, and you try to get started, and you press programs, and it stalls, and it just sits there and blinks at you, and you go, come on, program, I want to type a letter. It says, well, I'd like to, but something's holding me back. There's something got in there. Somebody got in and reprogrammed that computer. They put a worm in there. They put some kind of a virus in there. And every time you type something in there, that some of that stuff is taking your information and send it off to the German mafia somewhere. And they're trying to get your information. And you do banking and everything like that, and you got a bad program in there. They're gonna take your identity and everything like that. And by the time you figure it out, it's too late. Some of us know about that, don't we? They take the and gone. Okay, so I said all that not to say that I know a whole bunch about computers, because I really don't. I'm not a nerd, but I'm nerdish. Yeah, I'm not smart enough to be a nerd. Okay, I'm just nerdish. But my point is this. When God made man at the very beginning, he made man perfectly ready to obey him and to obey his every direction. He made him perfectly capable of obeying him and performing the works that he set for man to do. There was no problem with man. There was no problem with his flesh. There was no problem with anything like that. He was made to glorify God in the garden. But God picking, Satan got in there and influenced the woman. I told someone last week, I said, Adam should have slapped the fruit out of her hand as soon as he saw it. But he didn't. He took it and said, "You're right, baby. This does taste good. And it's good to look at, too." And here we are today. That perfect program was reprogrammed. And now it's got all kinds of glitches and slow ups in it. And it doesn't go when you press go, it doesn't go. And in that program, it's there running, trying to get back up and run everything. But Jesus Christ has come in and he's brought in a better program. Not the old program. He didn't take and revamp the old program. He brought a whole new program. Are you listening? He brought a new program in and set it up. And he says, "Now, you need to run by this new program." And you say, "Well, Lord, I don't know if I got the strength to do it." He says, "Here's the strength. Power of the Holy Ghost. Now, go forth and walk in the Spirit." And so we have the ability, which is the authority, and we have the power, which is the dynamite, to walk in the Spirit. That way we walk above that old man, or if you will, the old program that's been reprogrammed. And it's suited for death. It's going to die. Death is there. It's going to happen. We will physically die. If we don't know Christ, we will spiritually die in the lake of fire. Hell is not the final resting place, by the way. It's not a resting place, but it's not the final destination. There's a place called the lake of fire, which is, hell is going to be judged in the lake of fire. So when folks say you're going to hell, you say, well, it's going to get worse once hell is, because hell is going to be emptied out and judged. So anyway, we're not talking about that, but we're talking about the program. We're talking about the program. And I didn't plan to say this, didn't know I was going to say it, but it's necessary for somebody to hear that. Stop talking about the devil, the devil, the devil. Say, wait a minute, you've got an enemy that's closer to you than the devil. And he's called that old nature, the old man, the old sin man. And, you know, Paul said, he said, "I find then in me a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me," he said. With me. So, listen, I'm just trying to help you here to tell you that you don't need to point the blame away anymore. Anymore. Don't point the blame away anymore. You having problems, you getting stopped, say, "Lord, what is it that I'm doing? Lord, how do I overcome this? What part and what role do I have in this situation?" Y'all need to hear what I'm saying this morning. This is for you now. You'll walk in victory. You will walk in victory if you put the blame where it's supposed to be and stop talking about the devil always bothering me and tripping me up. We was born tripped up. Amen. We was born tripped up. The baby ain't nothing but a little sinner. You can't tell a mother that, because she'll get mad at you, and you know, you might have to move out of the neighborhood. But you know, that's all a baby is. And you don't believe me? You put that little baby in some kind of orderly situation and watch what it does. Can't stand order. It'll tear that room up. Anyway. Well, hallelujah, y'all. God knows what he's doing. Amen. Romans chapter 6. Lord, thank you for the study of the book of Romans and for calling that man, that great man, Paul, the apostle, who was previously named Saul, from his activities of persecuting the church to becoming one of, if not the greatest apostle ever, to grace the pages of history. And Lord, we're so glad that you stopped him in his tracks and you turned him around and changed his direction and pointed him towards us. As a result, we have this wonderful work here in your word. Bless us, Lord. Touch us, O God. Open our hearts and our minds that we can hear the truths that you have for our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here in Romans 16, first of all, I want you to know there are at least 35 people mentioned in this last chapter of Romans. There are a lot of names. Paul dropped a lot of names in this particular chapter. And the first one he dropped is a woman by the name of Phoebe. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Synchrae. Synchrae was in the region of Achaia, next to about 5 miles from the city of Corinth. And so he met her there. And he's saying about Phoebe is that you receive her in the Lord. So first of all, you want to receive her as a sister in the Lord, as become a saint. And so he's highly complimenting Phoebe and is saying that whatever she needs, that you should assist her in whatever business she has need of, for she has been a succorer of many and of myself. That means that anything that Paul needed in ministry, Phoebe was there in Synchrae to provide it for him. If Paul was hungry, she gave him food. If Paul was hurting, she gave him first aid. If whatever he needed, if he needed a place to stay, she made sure that he was taken care of. Phoebe ministered to him. I believe that women play a very important role, and for sure they played a very important role in the early years of the church. The scriptures now are forbidding certain activities of women to do in the church. But listen, Phoebe was what was called a deaconess. And there's still deaconesses in the church today. I hear deaconesses in the church today. Some folks don't like that. Oh, I ain't got no woman, I ain't got no... Okay, yeah, whatever, but this was a deaconess. A deaconess, the one that ministered to the needs of the people, that helped the people. She was a deaconess, and she was highly regarded in the church. Now, listen, men, there's a place for women in the church. There are some very powerful needs for women in the church. I can tell you one thing, guys. I'm talking to the guys, women. So y'all can draw a picture of something right now. But you know that a woman can walk in that door, and all a man see is she's pretty, and she's shapely, and she's got good skin. She smells good. But a woman will look and give her about 3 minutes. She's already got it scoped out. She knows what's going on with this woman. She knows what she's about. She knows if she's no good, she already knows it. She's got them scoped out. And guys, I'm sorry, but y'all are just kind of dumb to this. Men just don't see that far. And we need to recognize that. Now, I've had my wife come to me and say, you better watch that one. And I'm like, why? I didn't see nothing. Just telling you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wow, what's going on with my wife? Woo-hoo. And as it went on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. She could see things that I couldn't see. Guys, y'all know when they do this? They do that. And they laugh at everything you say, the stupid things you say that, no, it's not funny at all, but they got you. There's a great need for women in the church. A great need. And any church that puts down a woman's operation in the church is not a church worth being bothered with. And now, women, I'm going to talk to you. There's talk against women being pastors. Okay. There are women pastors. You can't stop that from happening. You might as well let it go because some women are going to pastor. I have never sat under a woman pastor. I'm not looking to. There are some things that I don't think a woman can do with a man. There are some things I don't believe a woman can discern about a man because you're not a man. You don't think like a man. You can't think like a man. Even the women that claim to like women still don't think like a man because they're women. Okay. Now, there's some of them I wouldn't get in a fist fight with. I'm like, please don't hurt me, you know. go on by. I mean, some of them are more manly than me. But they're women. And they still go through women situations till they start those shots and all that hormone treatments and all of that. But if the shot stops, the voice goes up again. They get that female squeak in their voice and everything starts working back like it used to work. They have to artificially change the operations of their body in order to have this masculine thing. Many of them. There are some, I guess, that, you know, some of this stuff is just a freak of nature. You know, I can't say I know all of the answers. I don't. But I know that the Bible says that in the beginning, God made them both male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. I know that's what he said. So now they got it. So anyway, that's about women. Women and men. But my point is that there's a great work that a woman can do in the church. And the women are called to do certain works that men can't do. That men just don't have. We just don't have it. And we need to recognize that and stop trying to do a woman's job. And women, stop trying to do a man's job. You let the man wear the pants. You let the man be a man. You let him be a man. Amen. Okay. So that's Phoebe. All that came from Phoebe. And just to let you know, she was a great, highly respected woman in the church in Synchrony. Highly respected. And so respected that she's the first name that he called in this chapter. And then he called two more names. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And it talks of church homes. Now, look over in Acts 18, right quick, and chapter 18, look in verse 3, and we'll see here where Paul met these two. Chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens, which is right over there in that same area of Corinth, and he came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. So there was some anti-Semitism going on at the time in Rome. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for by their occupation. They were tent makers. So Paul was a tent maker, and Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers also. If you notice there in Acts, the name comes Aquila first and then Priscilla in there. But here in verse 3 of Romans 16, we have Priscilla first and then we have Aquila. Wonder what that indicates. Probably that Priscilla had taken the lead role spiritually. That was the wife. She was the spiritual giant of the two, apparently. Apparently he recognized her after he met them in Acts 18, it was Aquila, Priscilla. He got to know them. And then here in 16, he's talking about them again, and he puts Priscilla and then Aquila. And so, listen, I mean, just think about some couples that, you know, I won't call names, but just think about some couples that, you know, you'll find that naturally the female's name will come first when you talk about that couple. Y'all got to do it now. But just think about it. The woman's name will come first. Some of them, the man's name will come first, you know, Wayne and Janet or something like that. But others, you'll find that there's people will call the wife's name first and then the husband. Well, it's because they recognize the wife, and the wife is more out front. See, she's more vocal. She's more, she appears more. And so that's just, you know, it's no disrespect, but that's just the way that people see things. So that's your little homework thing you can do. Think about some couples that you know, and notice that you find that in some of those instances, naturally the woman's, the wife's name will come first when you start talking about that couple. And then others, you see that the man's. And then you see that the two of them, you see that the personalities of the two pretty much match why the wife's name comes first and the husband's name comes second. Now, a woman in ministry, if you're going to be in ministry, you need a strong man behind you. He got to be a strong man behind you, because you run into things and situations out there with different people, and especially other men, females. You know, men are always on the prowl, mostly. Yep. Men are on the prowl. The bulk of them are on the prowl. And they come in and they go, praise the Lord, God really needs to help me and touch me. And I was wondering if you could lay your hands on me and pray for me. You need a man there. You don't really need to be counseling with a man behind closed doors, women. And the same for men, need to have women there or witnesses there behind closed doors. It's just safer. And it just makes more sense. Okay. Y'all hear me? All right now. Okay, verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who was the first fruit of Achaia. So you notice he mentioned a church in their house. The churches at the beginning did not start in buildings. Until the 3rd century or so, you had no mention of a church meeting, a building being called a church or so-called holy place. They met in houses. They were in different houses. There are a multitude of examples of what they call church homes, that churches where the churches met in homes. See, that's the good news, is because you are the church, and so the church met in homes. Don't you see? Now, folks go to church. Do you really? Are you really in church? That's what they say. Well, I'm in church. I went to church. You going to church Sunday? Well, you know what they're talking about, the institution, the building. But it really is the place where the church assembles. Are you going to the assembly? It should be, are you going to assemble with the church today? But anyways, it might go back to that, by the way. They might kick us out of here. Not because we don't pay the rent, but because of some of the doctrine. You all are here because you believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, then you got a lot of enemies. And they haven't got the laws in place yet. They're working on it. One day, same-sex couple is going to come through that door. Some other situation is going to come and say, I demand that you marry us. And I can put it to a vote. I don't have to. If you don't marry us, then we're going to close this place down. So y'all start packing. Start packing. My ministry is over. It's over. When I do that, I can't do it in good conscience. Here in this building, I see you look. You know, we might wind up back in a home. So y'all clean your houses up. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. Thank God we're still in a pretty safe environment. But just to let you know, it started out in homes. Amen. And another name, Mary. Mary is a Jewish name. It's the same as Miriam. And believe it or not, it means rebellious. The name Mary is rebellious. Can you believe that? That's what it means, rebellious. But look, God came and touched Mary. She's not rebellious anymore. She bestowed much labor on us. She worked a lot. She was changed to a servant. 7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, meaning he probably met these two in jail, in some of the jails somewhere over there in that area. He says, my fellow prisoners. That means we were locked up together. Maybe they shared a cell together. I don't know. But they got saved. And now they, he says, they're my fellow kinsmen. They're my kinsmen and fellow prisoners. Who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. That means they got saved before they met Paul. Meet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane. It says, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Urbane, it means city bred. In today's language, it's called a city slicker. He grew up in the city. He was city bred, urbane. When you look, urban is urban is in the name. Urbane means city bred. If we broke it down to today's terminology, it would be a city slicker. So here's a city slicker that I got saved that Paul met. And he's calling him. This is like the second hall of fame that we have in scriptures. The other one was there in Hebrews chapter 11. Here's another one here in Romans. It's a faith hall of fame. And Stachys there. And he was of the royal breed. Very possibly could have been related to someone there in authority. Salute Apelles, possibly a bishop in that area. In Christ, and salute them which are of Aristobulus's household. And this one was associated in some way with Herod the Great. So, I mean, there's just a smorgasbord of different kinds of personalities here that are going into the church. You can see how the church, it just has enveloped people from all walks of life, all races, across the board, like it is today. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, a freedman, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa. These were sisters. Tryphena means delicate, and Tryphosa means dainty. And these were probably sisters that ministered to them as well. It says that they who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis. It's a woman, a freed woman, which labored much in the Lord. And salute Rufus, chosen of the Lord, and his mother and mine. Look in Mark 15:21. I found something fascinating about Rufus. Mark 15. Something that we just can't afford to miss. Mark 15. Remember they had Christ when they were crucifying him? It says, and they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, and he's from North Africa, a North African city, who passed by, coming out of the country, father of Alexander and Rufus. You got it? Mark 15, verse 21. And they compelled one Simon a Cyrenian and passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him to the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. That's Rufus. Good chance this man Paul was talking about was the son of the man that bore the cross of Christ. Rufus. I think that's fascinating. 14 says, now salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The Church of Christ salutes you. That was a thing they did back then, a holy kiss. I don't recommend you do that today. But it's a holy kiss, y'all. It's a holy kiss. It has to be a holy kiss. They said maybe it was a peck on the head or something, but anyway, as long as it's holy, you see. But that was a custom back then. So as you can see, he mentioned all of these names. He was honoring all of these names and say hey. He's like saying, say hey to this one and say hey to that one and tell them hey to this one and go say a nice word to this one and give this one anything that they need when they show up. So he was sending a letter ahead. So Paul was obviously headed for Jerusalem as he wrote this letter, but he was sending this letter by Phoebe to Rome ahead of him. Phoebe was the one that was taking the letter, and that's why the letter started as it did, going to Rome. Now, he says, I beseech you, brethren, in verse 17, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. In other words, if someone comes in and they're causing divisions among you, and they are not walking in line with the scriptures, the Bible says you need to put a mark on them and avoid them. Don't hang around with them. You don't need to be talking to them. If they're not going to be talking the scriptures, they're going to be giving you confusion. And they're going to be twisting the scriptures around and causing arguments. It says, mark that one and avoid them. This is just for your good. Avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. That means their own interests. They are serving their own interests, and by good words and fair speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple or harmless concerning evil. Harmless concerning evil. The Bible says that we should be as children when we come to the Lord. As children. Simple. Meaning easily entreated. When we come as children to the Lord, I don't know if you remember, if you or you have a child or a nephew or a relative when they were small kids and they were standing on top of the couch or something, you said, jump, baby, I'll catch you. They didn't think twice. They just jumped. They trusted you catch them. They trusted that you catch them. And the Lord wants us to be like that with him. Now, some of these people around here, you got to be careful with some of these people now. Me and everybody else. You got to watch. You got to be careful of men. You really do. I mean, there needs to be a demonstration that they're trustworthy. There needs to be a demonstration that they're walking in the Word. I'm not saying you should not receive them, but you need to, don't just go jumping in everybody's arms you see. Let them demonstrate. Talk to them. Watch them. Listen to what comes out of their mouth, because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you can pretty much know what's on the inside about what comes out of the mouth, typically. Even if they are quoting scriptures, Satan cannot properly quote a scripture according to the Spirit of God. Y'all hear me now? He can quote them, but he can't put them together right. He puts them together according to his own little thing he's trying to get you to see, like he told Eve. No, you won't surely die. God's trying to pick your pocket. Well, he didn't say pick your pocket, but I mean, you know, God is trying to trick you. He doesn't want you to be like him, becoming as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, he didn't quite put that right, but she didn't know enough scripture to say, you got that wrong. That's not how that went. See? And so, because of that, he was able to sell her a bill of goods. And so we just need to be careful and childlike with the Lord. Amen. If he tell you to jump, just do a swan dive in his arms. Amen. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan, I like that, under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timothy, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsman, salute you. And Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. You say, well, I thought Paul wrote it. Well, Tertius wrote for Paul, just so we get that straight. Yeah, Paul dictated it, Tertius wrote it. Amen. Amen. Okay. folks will say. That's a great contradiction. Paul, I think Galatians is the only book I believe that Paul actually wrote. I believe the others, someone wrote for him, if I got that right. If I don't have it right, I'll come back and correct it next time. But I believe it was Galatians. The book of Galatians was the one that Paul himself wrote. Gaius, mine host. That means he was living there in Gaius' house. When he say my host, he was in Gaius' house at the time. Of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, salute you. And Carter's a brother. This letter is headed for Rome. And folks are saying, these folks said, hey, that's what they're saying. You know how you say, tell your mama, hey, when I see you. How your sister doing? Good. Tell her I said, hey. That's kind of what that is. He said, hey. So they salute you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What a wonderful way to start and to end the letter. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, and the mystery that he talks about is now made known, which is the gospel of Jesus and the new man that comes out of the salvation that we receive. It was a mystery, but it's no longer a mystery anymore. But now it's made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Praise the Lord for Paul the Apostle. And it would be good for us to follow some of his lead in the way that we relate to each other sometimes, and part sometimes with a blessing from each other. We don't do that. Y'all know that. We don't do that. We go, see you later. Bye. Instead of go with the Lord. Be blessed. May your week be blessed. May your life be blessed. We know we're not there yet. Thank you, sweetheart. I think she's answering for all of us. I'm not trying to nail nobody. I'm part of this too now. But just because I don't do it, it's still not right. It would be a blessing. But you say, be blessed. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I used to be in a group where they said, praise the Lord, every time they met you. When it got old, they didn't really mean it. After a while, it was just in passing. You see? But, you know, we need to be able to speak a blessing. You know, no one's going to speak a blessing to me away from here unless I run across a member of the church somewhere, not you necessarily, but a member of the body of Christ who's walking in the Spirit. Most of the time we talk about football, FSU football, how the rats beat the skunks and all of that. We talk about all that stuff. I was talking about it one time and Brother Robert said, okay, brother, you can move on now. So I kind of didn't hear him. I kept talking. He said, no, seriously, move on. Okay. All right, brother. So I moved on. So I got to hit those FSU things a little bit too hard. But listen, that's good. It's natural. But pray about it. Pray about being a blessing to someone. Pray about lifting someone up in the Lord. I'm not talking about flattery. Flattery is very dangerous. When people flatter you, they want something. They're leading you down a little pathway when they start flattering you. And if you're not careful, pride will step in. You go, well, thank you so much. I had a hard time picking this out. And you don't know that they are leading you down a pathway. I thank God for compliments. But, you know, this stuff doesn't make the person. Be careful with folks that are always flattering you. But a word of blessing, you can't flatter nobody with that. And you just cannot imagine how far that the final word I hear or someone hear from you is that I've been praying for you. And may God bless you and help you. Wow. Man, that'll take me for a while there. Amen. Well, Father, thank you for your wonderful word today. And we are so glad that you helped us through the book of Romans. And so here we are. And next week, Lord, we will come, hopefully, if it be your will, and do the things that I believe you called us to do in the name of Jesus. Now, next week, we will, unless the Lord changes, we will celebrate communion. And I have not celebrated communion, and I've been here since, I've been the pastor since, January 1, 2012. And the Lord says, you need to teach before you even do that. You need to cover some bases before you do that. Because my preaching and our messages have always been hit and miss messages. We find a subject and we preach on it. We find a subject and we preach on it. And it's not that they were bad subjects or that they were bad messages, but they were leaving gaps in between those messages. And so we're going through books at a time. And we're hitting doctrine after doctrine after doctrine. We're not missing anything if we can help it. We're coming through with Bible study. We're going through the New Testament. We made it through the Gospels. We are almost through Acts. We're headed for Romans. And we are slowly going through the Scriptures so that the doctrines can be properly stacked. And so apparently we have taught enough and gone through enough doctrine that we are now ready to celebrate communion. And so it is my hope, if the Lord allows, that we will be allowed to celebrate communion next Sunday. And so pray during the week and prepare yourself to partake of the Lord's Supper. We started in the book of Romans on June 29th, of 2014. And so we're just finishing that book here in November 2nd, I think it is. And so how many is that? 5 months? A good journey. Well, the Lord bless you. God bless you, and hope to see you again in the name of Jesus. Amen.